Chaim, God, your God, lo yeleh lachem elohim achedim alponai, there shall be no other gods. And we talked about all the forms of idolatry and pagan and heathen practices in the world that exist up until today. The worship of money, wealth, power, all of these are idolatries. All of these idolatries. All of the isms are idolatries to which people have given their lives, from communism to every other ism that you want. And Jews were, and there were those, there, I didn't want to say Zionism, because I hold, of course, that Zionism is not idolatry, but there may be others who will disagree with me. And we talked, of course, about the idea of the paganization of God himself. It's possible for man to turn God into some kind of a pagan or heathen deity, whom we serve only for our own best interests and for nothing else. With the Haftorah of Parshat Bahalotcha, I want to take it one step further. Now, it's in the Haftorah for Parshat Bamidbar. We showed that Bamidbar, that Haftorah is not limited just to the Parsha itself, but it also reflects ideas that are powerful, that are contemporary, that embrace the whole world of ideas. The Haftorah of Parsha, Bahalotcha, now you can read it, and it's a nice Haftorah. At some points it may be even a little difficult, but it's very, very easy to miss the powerful point in this Haftorah of extreme contemporary relevance. And you're my students, and I don't want my students to ever miss the significance of a Haftorah. You understand? This Haftorah is never going to be the same again. What's also unique about this, the Haftorah of Parshat Bahalotcha, is the fact that it's one of the few Haftorahs, there are a few, but it's one of the few that is read more than once during the course of a Jewish calendar year. You may recall, and if you don't recall, I'll tell you anyway, that the Haftorah for Parashat Bahalotcha is the Haftorah for Shabbos Chanukah. It's going to tell us the story of a menorah. Chanukah, menorah, I mean, we don't have to explain the significance of Chanukah and menorah. In the beginning of Parashat Bahalotcha is Bahalotcha Tanerot, when you are going to light the menorah in the Bet HaMikdash. The first, in the Mishkan it's talking about, the first few psukim of Bahalotcha talk about the menorah. So of course, what is usually assumed as the real connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha, menorah here, menorah there, great, we found a few psukim in Tanakh that talk about a menorah. Isn't that so fitting as the Haftorah for Parshat Bahalotcha? Now I want to point out to you, if that's where it would end, then such a powerful message and such brilliance of our rabbis would be completely lost. And that's not going to happen. First, we're going to read through the Haftorah. You can follow this in English translation on the side. You can listen to my Tzubrachene English translation, whatever you want. The first pasuk is a message of such great hope. Roni v'simchi bat Zion, sing and be full of joy, you daughter of Zion. Ki hinini ba, God says, I'm coming. V'shachati b'tochech, and I will dwell in your midst. Ne'um Hashem, says God. What a message. What a message. Who's the Navi that's saying this in the name of God? Zechariah. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi were the last three prophets. They were members of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the men of the Great Assembly. They are present in Yerushalayim upon the return of Jews from the exile. And here is this weak, small community that is beginning the job of the reconstruction of Jerusalem. This is a message of great hope. God says, I'm coming and I'm going to dwell in your midst. And not only that, many nations are going to join to God on that day. And they will be a people unto me. But despite the fact that there are going to be people from all nations of the world, you should know, my dwelling is going to be in your midst. Do you that? And then you know, then you will all know that God, the God of hosts, is the one who sent me to tell you this. Big news. God is on the way. And he wants to dwell in your midst. God is going to give us an inheritance to Yehuda, his share on the Holy Land. He is going to choose Yerushalayim again as his capital city. I imagine if God would be saying it, or the Navi, the indivisible holy city under God's sovereignty. Right, this is a great message for. A small group of weak people surrounded by enemies on all sides. They had a serious demographic problem. But as I've pointed out, there has never been a moment in history when Jews didn't suffer from a big demographic problem. And to hear this news, God is coming. He's on the way. I'm going to dwell in your midst. Has kol basa. The Navi seems to be leaving the impression he's coming already. Shh. Respect. Has kol basar. All flesh, be silent before Hashem. Has kol basar mipnei Hashem. Ki ne'or mima'on kodsho. Because he is aroused from his holy habitation and he's coming and he's here in Yerushalayim. What a great message. Here, there. They're trying desperately to eke out a living in Yerushalayim. They're beginning the construction of the walls of Yerushalayim. And Nehemiah describes how half of them are standing armed, guarding those who are building the walls. Unbelievable. A picture of whatever you want. Poverty and terrorism and insecurity. This is a great message of hope. Vayareni. Zechariah sees 8 visions. 2 of those visions are going to be part of the Haftorah. Vayareni Hashem, God showed me Yehoshua HaKohen HaGadol, Omed Lifnei Malach Hashem. He showed me Yehoshua, the high priest, who's standing before the angel of God. And Satan is by his right hand side to condemn him. Yehoshua is one of those who's come on Aliyah. He will ultimately be the Kohen Gadol for many years, the high priest. But there are problems. There are problems. Because there's a Satan over here that does not want Yehoshua to be Kohen Gadol. God said to the Satan, this is what the Zechariah sees in his vision. God says to the Satan, Yig'ar Hashem b'cha Satan, let God be angry with you, Satan. V'yig'ar Hashem b'cha ha'bocheh b'Yerushalayim. The God who has chosen Yerushalayim is angry with you, Satan. Don't you know who Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is? Halo ze'ud musal me'esh. He is a firebrand rescued from the flames. Now there's a one way to look at it, as Chazal tell us, that in Babel, Yehoshua, just as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had been cast into the fire, into the furnace, so too Yehoshua was. The difference between Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah is that they came out completely unscathed. But he came out, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol came out with his clothing burned, singed. Okay. By the way, when you hear Udmut Salmei Eish, of course, there's another way to look at it. That be very careful. Imagine Jews coming from Europe to establish a state over here, to become part of a state. You have to be very careful. Anybody who dares act in a satanic manner against it, remember these are Ud Mutzal Me'esh, firebrands who've been plucked out of the fire. And they have very special status. Very special status. Right? So God is angry with Satan. God who chooses Yerushalayim. Vayam vayomer el ha'omdim lefonav lemor. The angel answered and he said to those who were standing, Hasidu habugadim hatzoim me'alov. Take the soiled garments off of him. V'hal beish. My eyes went down. V'yoshua, let's go back to Pasuk Gimel. V'yoshua, ha'yolavush begodim tzoim. He was wearing soiled garments, and he's omeid. He's standing before the angel. Malach says, remove the stained clothing. And he said to him, Re'ei, he'evarti me'olayich avonecha, I have removed your sin from you, v'halbeish otcha machalatzot, and I have now clothed you with new garments. Chazal, our rabbis also tell us that the children of Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, had married out of the faith. And he did not voice strong enough objection. And that was what Sutton was upset about. Hafchume Sutton, you understand? This is a very religious Sutton. Okay. So he's concerned. But God says it doesn't make any difference. No, it's ultimately there are those who say that they ultimately sent away their wives. But the important thing is, you know, so we don't have perfection. We're undertaking the reconstruction of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. We don't have perfection. Perfection will come sometime in the future. You want everything perfect. You want everything perfect. No, it's not perfect. Yeshua is worthy of the position. Fine, that's enough. V'omar, and I said, Yosinu tzonif tahor arosho. They should put a pure turban on his head. A turban, a hat represented, for the Kohen Gadol, it represented his station, his position. V'yosinu tzonif tahor arosho, they put a pure turban on his head. V'yelbishu begadim. And they put on, I imagine, the garments and the raiments that are worn by a Kohen Gadol. Umalach Hashem omeid, and the angel of God is standing there. Vayoad malach Hashem b'hu b'Yehoshua lemor. And the angel of God warned Yehoshua. And he said to him the following. Ko amar Hashem tzvakos, so says the God of hosts. In bidrachai teleich, if you will go in my ways, yim et mishmarti tishmor, and you will keep my commandments. V'gam atah tadin et beiti, you will judge my people. V'gam tishmor et chatzorei, you are going to guard my temple. V'nosati l'chom mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ele, I will let you move amongst those who are standing here. That's very significant. The omdim are the angels. You will be able to move amongst the angels. Why are angels called Omdim? They are called Omdim because an angel, throughout all of his existence, remains at the exact same level that he was when he was brought into being. He doesn't have free will. He can't perform mitzvahs. Angels can't grow. They can't develop. They can't better themselves. An angel is an angel is an angel. But man has the ability to move, to grow. So I'm going to, Yeshua, you'll see. If you do what I want you to do, God says, then you will be able to move in the company of angels. Shmano Yehoshua HaKohen HaGadol. Listen here, O Yeshua, the high priest. out of Re'echa Yoshim Lefanecha, you and your friends who sit before you, Ki Anshei Mofei Tema, because they are men of miracles. Who are the people that are with Yehoshua? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the three who were thrown into the furnace by Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to know, I'm going to bring my servant Tzemach. Who is my servant Tzemach? Obviously, all we have to do is go straight to Shmona Esrei. As Tzemach, David, Avdecha, Meheda, Tatzmiach. David is the one who's going to grow. It represents the kingdom of Israel. It ultimately represents the idea of Mashiach. I mean, the messages that are being delivered over here address the Yoshua Kohen Gadol and to the Jewish people. Great hope. Great possibilities. God is saying, Hinini, I'm coming and I'm going to dwell in Dvalyamit. Hinini bovi shachamti betocheich. No, Hashem. I'm going to bring Avdi Tzemach. Ki hinei, ha'even asher natati lefnei Yoshua, the stone that I have placed before Yoshua, this is the foundation stone of the Bet HaMikdash. Al even echad shiva einayim. There are seven eyes toward each stone. That represents the idea that God is watching carefully over everything that's going to take place. Hinini mifateach pitucha. I'm going to engrave the adornments on it. And if you've taken any trips around this country, you see stones with all sorts of engravings, capitals, you know, Herodian and Chereis, I don't know. I'm going to do it. In other words, God says, I am going to be part of the construction of the Bet HaMikdash. No, Mashem Tzakot, says the God of hosts. I'm going to remove the sin of the land in one day. Oh, God, what a message of hope and renewal, rejuvenation. What's going to take place over here? Unbelievable. Vayomahu, no mashem tzvakot tikru ish l'reyeyu el tachat gefen vel tachat teina. Here's a passage that describes, first of all, that there's going to be camaraderie. There's going to be ahavat Yisrael between Jew and fellow Jew. And there's going to be prosperity. Everybody under his vine and under his fig tree. The classic biblical Tanakh description of a beautiful place to live. Of peace. What did you say? Peace? Huh? Utopia. Shalom, the Shalva, yeah, utopia, right? This is a haftorah that is pulsating with hope, with good news. Second vision that Zechariah sees. Vayoshev Hamalach Adover Bi, the angel who spoke to me returned. Vayeireni, and he woke me ki ish asher yeor mishnato, like a man who is awakened from his sleep. Vayomre lai, and he said to me, Ma taroeh, what do you see? Va omar, and I said, Ra'iti, I see, I saw, v'hinei, menorat zahav kula, finally we're coming to what one may think is the connection to the Sedra. I saw a menorah completely out of gold, v'gula al rosha, a bowl on its top. In other words, that's where the wick and the oil goes. The shivan nedoteha aleha, and the seven lamps are there. Shiva v'shiva mutzakot. Each one of the seven has seven. He calls it tubes or like a. No, not lamps. A pipe. There's a pipe. There's going to be, because there's going to be an olive tree that's going to be dripping oil into the tubes, pipes, and it's going to go dripping into the menorah. V'nei menorat zahav kula v'gula roshav v'shiva neirotei ha'aleh shiva v'shiva mutzakot. Seven to each one. Each one has a tube, la neidot asher arosha, to the neidot that are on top of the menorah. Ushnayim zeitim aleha, and on two sides there are two olive trees. Echad miyamin hagula ve'echad al smola, one to the right of the lamp and one to the left. Va'an, so the, that's what I saw. Va'an va'omar al amalach. And I spoke and I said to the angel who is speaking to me, Hadoverbi Lemor, I said to him, Mo Eila Adoni, what are these, my master? Vayan Hamalach Hadoverbi, the angel who spoke to me answered and he said, Halo Yadato Mahem Eila. Don't you know what these are? Zachariah. V'omar, and I said, Lo Adoni, no, my master, I don't know. Vayan Vayomere Lai Lemor, and he answered and he said to me the following, Zed Dvar Hashem, this is the word of God. El Zerubbabel. Who is Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel is going to be the governor of the new commonwealth that is to be established. There are going to be two leaders. This new commonwealth that is being born now in Yerushalayim. There's going to be the Kohen Gadol, and there's going to be Zerubbabel. I wanted to say the political leader, but that's a dirty word. We're talking about the governor. In a sense, the one, I was going to say prime minister, but that's also not such a, okay? The civil administrator, the leader, it's more than a civil administrator. Zerubbabel. Chazal, our rabbis say that this is Nehemiah. Zerubbabel is another name for Nehemiah. In other words, Zerubbabel meaning one who was sort of came out of Bavel, and Lema tell him the following great message. Lo b'chayil, v'lo b'koach. What you build here is not going to be built through armies and not through might. Ki im beruchi, only through my spirit. Amar Hashem Tzvakot, says the God of hosts. This is quite a message that ultimately you're going to need chayil. And you're going to need koach, you're going to need an army, and you're going to need might, but those are not ultimately the building blocks of the Jewish commonwealth. The Jewish commonwealth will be built with my spirit, Amar Hashem Tzvakot, says the God of hosts. Mi ata har gadol lefnei Zerubbabel l'mishar. Big mountain, what are you before Zerubbabel? You're going to become a plain. In other words, great obstacles are going to be removed from before Zerubbabel. V'hotziat ha'evan harosha, and he shall bring forth the main stone. This is the stone that is going to be the cornerstone of the Beit HaMikdash. Shuot, and there will be a cry. People are going to cry. Chein, chein, la. Out will come the great message. Chein, chein, la. Meaning, beauty, beauty to it. Well, what a chapter. What a chapter. Is this not a chapter of hope? Come on, give me a few more words. This is a picture of a perfect state that is about to be established over here. God has chosen Yerushalayim again. He's coming. He's going to dwell in our midst. We have our leadership. We have Yehoshua Kohen Gadol on one hand, and we have Zerubbabel Nehemiah on the other hand. We're going to build a great commonwealth, and that commonwealth is going to be based not only on strength and might, but it's going to be built with the Spirit of God. What a beautiful, beautiful Haftarah. So what's my problem? What's my problem? How do I go from there to today? So you should know, you shouldn't ask me that question. I can do that with any chapter in Tanakh. Yeah. So you know, I'm going to take you the next step. I'm going to take you the next step. For some of you, it's going to be a review. A little bit of the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Sefer HaKuzri. And even for those who learn, come on Wednesday, my faithful students who come on Wednesday to learn Kuzri, there's a sentence or two that you might have missed while we were learning it. And now you're going to see the full depth of what Rav Yehuda Halevi is saying. I always tell you, when you see all of that writing, don't get yourself, all that printed stuff, don't become unnerved, don't become upset. Take a look, there was a whole page with Haftarah. Rav Yehuda Halevi wrote a sefer called the Kuzri. The Kuzri is a dialogue between the king of the Khazars and a rabbi. And at one point, Rav Yehuda Halevi had begun to speak in such glowing terms about Eretz Yisrael. Which, for those of you who are going to be here tomorrow, this is an introduction. You have homework. We're going to talk about the international dateline tomorrow. And that's exactly what precedes this. He says that the world, Shabbos on the face of this earth, started in Eretz Yisrael. And that's going to make all sorts of difference. I'm not going to go into that. That will confuse you. And those of you who come tomorrow will clearly be confused up to about 5 minutes before the shiur is over. And then everything will become clear. So the king tells him, you know, you've spoken such great things about Eretz Yisrael. Tell me about it. Tell me a little bit about Eretz Yisrael. On the right-hand side of the page, it's the Talmud Chacham who's speaking, and I'll choose a few. You'll see at the beginning, underlined, he's going to bring all sorts of statements of our rabbis about how great Eretz Yisrael is. Lo olam yodur odom be'eretz Yisrael be'ir sheruva goyim val yodur b'chutz laretz afshilu be'ir sheruva Yisrael. A person should rather live in Eretz Yisrael even in a city where the majority are non-Jews rather than live in chutz laretz in a city that's all Jewish. Shekol ador be'eretz Yisrael, the kosher who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's as though he has a God. Bechol ador b'chutz laretz domel nishen lo eloka. And a person who lives in Chutz Arts is as though he doesn't have a God. The king who only David, that's what David HaMelech said when he had to flee from before Shaul and he fled to Plishtim. He said, Ki gershuni hayom, they've cast me out today. May his tapeach benachalat Hashem. They've cast me out today from being part of the inheritance of God, Eretz Yisrael. Lamor, and you know what it's like? It's as though they told me, Leich avod Elohim achedim, go worship other gods. For David HaMelech, the idea that he is temporarily outside of Eretz Yisrael, he sees this as a form of idolatry. So that can fit in with your Zionism over there. Zionism, which says live in Eretz Yisrael, is therefore the antithesis of idolatry. And then he quotes that Kol Hador B'Chutz Aretz Ka'oved Aved Yisrael, please don't tell it to your friends in Chutz Aretz. This is not a way to make friends and influence people. Whoever lives in Chutz Aretz is as though he's Oved Avedah Zarah. You know, I can make all sorts of other comments, but I'm going to control myself. Anyway, then you'll see where it's underlined further. It says, whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael is as though he's buried under the altar of the Beit HaMikdash. Further on, he brings Avirah to Eretz Yisrael, Machkim, the very air of Eretz Yisrael, makes people wise. Kolam Halach Arba Amos, Eretz Yisrael, Muftach Lo Shuv Ben Olam Abba. Anybody who walks 4 cubits in Eretz Yisrael is assured a place in the world to come. And the last 3 lines, Reb Zera, who was such a rush to get into Eretz Yisrael, He stubbornly crossed into Eretz Yisrael by foot. He crossed the river by foot rather than wait for the ferry. And why did he? And somebody asked him, why don't you wait for the ferry? What are you running like this? So he says, a place that Moshe and Aaron were not zocha to get there. Who says that I'm going to be zocha? I want to hurry and I want to get in there. All right. So the Chover has said, Eretz Yisrael, great. The king. Oy, the king gives him now in Vaten Halzaran, in Taten's Tatas. He tells him, Omar HaKuzri, the king says, in Cain, if so, that Eretz Yisrael so great, and you're sitting in Spain, you understand. Hallo, Vera Tal Mitzvah, Mochievet Lefitoratcha, im Encha Oleel HaMakom, Ahu. You're over, you're transgressing a mitzvah if you don't go up to that place. And you don't turn that place into the home where you live and where you die. In Kiato, Mary, even though, boy, you know, you're pretty glib. You can say all sorts of things. And he quotes now from the brachas after the Haftorah. In the brachas after the Haftorah, we say, Rachem al Tzion, ki hi beit chayenu, God have mercy on Zion, because it's the house of our life. You understand? House of your life? What are you talking about? You sit over there in Spain, and you're telling Ravani Shalom, Rachem al Tzion, ki hi beit chayenu. And you believe ki ashkino toshuv lishkom shon, you believe that the divine presence is going to come there. And then he goes on to say, listen, all of the sanctity of that place all the years, even if there is no Beit HaMikdash today, this is the place where the prophets walk. This is the place where Klal Yisrael created all sorts of great things. And you're not living there. And you're telling me, you're giving me all this Zionist shtick, you understand? You tell me what a great place Eretz Yisrael is, and you're sitting over here. I mean, this is quite a frontal attack by the king of the Khazars against the Chover. Now, there are a number of possible responses. He can respond by saying, "Well, listen, take it easy. Don't get so excited and don't get so upset. You know, today it's a Chilani state. God wouldn't really want me to be over here. The leadership are a bunch of Mechali Shabbos and Eichlei Treifis, and I don't like their policies anyway. And you can't make a living over there. And you know, the Chaver could tell him all of the things, and they're not." You know, they're rough people, these Israelis, they're this and they're that. You want me to live there? The most beautiful response is the classic response of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Take a look at the Ikar of the Shir is right at the top of the left-hand side. Amar HaChaveh, Ochein Motzoto Mekom Cherpati Melech Kuzar, King of the Khazars, you have found my shame. You found my shame. When I first learned the Kuzri, there was a different Hebrew translation, and I can't get that translation out of my head. Hovashtani melech kuzar. You have shamed me, King of the Khazars. Now you're going to see. Ki omnam chetzer, that sin of not going to Eretz Yisrael, hu asher biglolo, because of it, lo nitkayim hayyud asher yo'ad ha'olakai labayit sheni, what God had destined for the second temple never came to fruition. Roni v'simchi bat zion, ki hinni bo v'shochanti v'tocheich no'um Hashem. That's our Haftorah. You know what's happening over here in the Haftorah? What's happening over here in the Haftorah is the Navi is telling Klal Yisrael God's plan for Bayit Sheni. Everything is ready. I'm coming. The only thing that's missing in the Haftorah is it never happened. Tragedy. Tragedy. It could have been. But was an awesome missed opportunity by Klal Yisrael. What a terrible missed opportunity. Where is it? Just one moment. Brutus, when he is urging his comrades to seize a fleeting opportunity in an armed conflict, there is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads us to fortune. There are great moments, and people have to know how to rise to the great moment. And if you don't rise to the great moment, do you know what happens? You don't seize the opportunity. What happens is tragedy. Tragedy. The Radak, one of the great Mefarshim, asks the question very simply. The first part of the Haftorah, Roni v'simchi bat Zion, sing and be full of joy because I'm coming to dwell in your midst. When is it talking about? Is it talking about Bayit Sheni? So the Radak says, no, it cannot be Bayit Sheni because it says, v'nilvu goyim rabim, many nations are going to come and they're going to join. That never happened. So he therefore simply decides that what the Haftorah is talking about is
a prophecy for the distant future. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi learns that the prophecy over here is a prophecy that's being said to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Yoshua, Kohen Gadol, Zerubbabel, the 42,000 that came back and said, I'm coming and I'm going to dwell here. There's going to be a government, there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to watch every stone that goes into that Beis HaMikdash. The story of this beautiful Haftorah is that it never happened. Why didn't it happen? So Rav Yehuda Halevi goes on and says, you know why it didn't happen? So first he explains, Ki ha'inyan ha'eliki omad l'chol aleim kibarishona. God's divinity was prepared to come down and dwell upon them as at first. On one condition, ilu nanu kulam l'kriya v'shavul Eretz Yisrael, if they would have answered the call of the Nevi'im who told them, come back. If they just would have come, if Jews would have come from Babel, Jewish history would be dramatically different. Everything in this Haftorah would have been fulfilled then. Avol rak mitzosom nanu, only some answered the call. The Rubam, and most of them, the Hachashuvim, Shebahem, and the most important figures, Nisharu b'Bavel, they remained in Bavel. Maskinim la'golos la'shibud, they were ready to agree to remain in Golos and in Shibud, u'bulvad shelo yiparadu mimishkinotam u'miyiskeim, just as long as they didn't have to leave their homes and their businesses. They couldn't leave their homes and their businesses, you understand? You have a 2-3-story home with a grease pool in the backyard and a grease, I don't know what else they have in their house. And their businesses, he says the tragedy of Bayit Sheni was that all of this could have happened, but there was one condition. The Jews would come, but they didn't respond to the call. That was the tragedy. Chavi, you see those two svarim back there? I need them. V'yitochen ki'alzer romaz shlomo ba'amro. Come on, that's where you're going to get into the picture. You understand? You're going to get into the... Thanks. You see, even the Nevuah has to be seen in its context, in its natural habitat. You know what it says a few psukim before? Roni v'simfi bat Zion. Hoi, hoi. This I'm reading, you don't have it. Nusu me eretz tzafon. Flee from the land of the north, Babel. Noam Hashem, says God. Flee. Hoi, Tzion himolti. Run to Tzion. But there was a very special reason why that's not part of the Haftorah. The Haftorah wants to paint the idyllic picture for two reasons. One, so you should get a picture of what could have been. And because it didn't happen, then it now becomes the picture of what's going to be. We're going to get back to the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in a moment. You know why this is the Haftorah for Parashat Baalotcha? Because Parashat Baalotcha, of all of the Parashiot in Torah, is the Parashat that's the greatest tragedy of them all. There is no Parashat as tragic as Parashat Baalotcha. Take me a minute to tell you. Do you know what's taking place in Sefer Bamidbar, in Bamidbar Noso and Bahalotcha? There's a census. The Sefer begins with a census, so we should know who's ready to go to the army. We have to know how many men we're going to have when we enter Eretz Yisrael. Shevet Levi, that's going to have to take care of the Mishkan counted separately. Then all of the 12 tribes are divided into 4 camps. 3 tribes at each camp. Each one is told where they are to be stationed around the Mishkan. The camp of Yehuda, Reuven, Ephraim, and Dan. The Levium immediately around the Mishkan, them around it. Klal Yisrael is being prepared for the great march. The
the tasks of each one of the Levim. What are they going to carry? What are they going to carry? What are they going to close? What are they going to wrap? How are they going to do it? All of the marching orders are prepared in advance. Everything is ready. Everything is ready. Gershon, Kahat, Merari, each one know exactly what they're supposed to do. In Parashat Naso, we are told anybody who is unclean has to be removed from the camp until they become cleansed and pure. This is not Stam, an army that is going to Eretz Yisrael. This is going to be an army that's pure and holy. We're told the halacha of a sota. There shall not be infidelity amongst the Jewish people, because that eats away at the body politic of the Jewish people. The Levim take the place of the firstborn. What about in this sedra? In this sedra, they're told, Moshe's told, make trumpets. And we're told exactly what kind of blast of the trumpet means, call the people together, which blast of the trumpet means that they begin to march, how are they to march, when the cloud of glory rises. Everything is ready. Everything is ready. 2.5 sedras, every preparation is made for the great triumphant march of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe so festively says to his father-in-law, Nosim and Anachnu, we're journeying our makom to the place that God has said, come along with us, and you will share in all of that goodness. Come along with us. It peaks by the middle of the sedra when you have those two great psukim, Vayehi bin Soar Haron, Vayom Moshe, Kum Hashem v'yofutzu v'yevecho v'yonusim v'sanecho v'banecho. Let your enemies be destroyed before you. Immediately afterwards, Vayehi ha'om kimis oninim, the people complained. It was rabba ozne Hashem, it was bad in the ears of God. And the fire of God began to burn against the camp. Next, there were those amongst them, his avu tava, they needed basar. Do you understand what's happening over here? 2.5 sedras, the greatest preparation of all for a great march. And you know what's going to happen in the middle of Valosa? Everything is going to crumble before our very eyes. Everything. They had already begun, and Rashi says God intended to take them into Eretz Yisrael within 3 days. And it just, it didn't work. Of course, the tragedy is going to end, or it's going to reach its peak in next week's Seder with the Meraglim. The Parsha Balotcha is the Parsha of the story of great, awesome opportunity. It's lost. Lost. Gone. The moment wasn't seized. Didn't know how to make use of that great moment. That's the Haftorah. The Haftorah tells us Bayit Sheni could have been the end of all of the suffering of the Jewish people. But we goofed it. Ilu hayunenim, Rabbi Yehuda Levi says, would they have answered the call of the Nevi'im? Hoi, hoi, Nusi, leave Bavel, Tzion himalti, run to Tzion. What a different Jewish history there would have been. So here it is. It's this innocent Haftorah that paints a glorious, glorious picture. And according to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the Rabbi Shem was talking about now. By now I mean at the time of Bayit Sheni. I'm coming now. Not like the Radak says sometime in the future. It's going to be now. But there's a condition. They have to come. They have to come. If they don't come, there's no people with which to build a Klal Yisrael. This Haftorah was not chosen because there's a menorah at the beginning of Baal Lotcha and there's a menorah at the end of the Haftorah. Menorah here, menorah there. Oh, no, no, no. Infinitely more profound. Much more profound. The Sedra is the story of tragedy, and the Haftorah is the story of tragedy. And the purpose of the two is not to make the same mistake again. I must have once told you it's an ethnic joke. I can't help it. I don't like ethnic jokes, but it's so good. An American and a Pole are going into a John Wayne movie. So the American turns to the Pole and he says, I bet you $10 that John Wayne falls off the horse. So the Pole says, you got to bet $10 he won't fall off the horse. They go into the movie and you guessed it. John Wayne falls off the horse. They come out of the movie. So the Pole takes out $10. He lost the bet. He takes out $10 to give to the American. Right? Says, I really can't take the $10. You know, the truth is, I saw the movie last week, and I knew that John Wayne was going to fall off the horse. So the Pole says, I also saw the movie last week, but I thought if he was foolish enough to fall off last time, he wouldn't fall off again this week. If we made the mistake once, do we have to make the same mistake again? No, we haven't. We're infinitely far ahead of Bayit Sheni. Bayit Sheni 42,000. They never had in Bayit Sheni 5.3 million Jews. Never in all of 600 years of the Second Commonwealth. We're ahead. Asha, we're ahead. In Shir Ashirim, I just have to find all of these, and I believe Rabbi Yehuda Levi is going to say the Sephorno and the Eben Ezra. In Shir Ashirim, it says that the kol dodi dofek, the sound of my beloved knocking on my door, and I was lazy, I was in bed, I had already gotten undressed. How am I going to get out of bed? How am I going to do it? Until finally, kamti ani l'ftorach l'dodi, I got up to open the door. Tragedy, dodi chamak avar. My beloved, who I'd been looking for, he knocked and he knocked. There was no answer, so he left. He left. So the Sephorno and the Eben Ezra learn that it's all talking about Bayit Sheni. Kamti ani l'ftorach, poshatiti et kutanti. The girl says, I've taken off my robe. How will I put it on? Says the Eben Ezra, shenit atzlu Yisrael la'alot v'livnot habayit. Israel was too lazy to go up from Bavel to build the Beit HaMikdash. Dodi shalach yado min achor. My beloved tries to get his hand in through the door. He sent Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi to tell them, Hoi, hoi, Tzion, himolti, run to Tzion. Kamti ani l'ftach l'dodi. I got up to open Zehu Binyan Abayis. And they thought that the Shekhinah would dwell amongst them, but it was not to be. They didn't come. They didn't come. This Sephorno. Sephorno says, El Ginata goes Yoradati. Who doesn't know that pasuk? I went down to the garden. El Ginata goes. Huh? It's a song, of course. Sometimes I sing, but this one I'm not singing. El Ginata goes Yoradati. Lirod biibei anachal. I went down. So he says, Bikesh mehem the Sephorno. Oh. El Ginata goes Yoradati. I came down. The Ginata goes is Yerushalayim. And you know what I found in Yerushalayim? Asora Yuchsin, 10 different kinds of Jews, the dregs of Jewish society. From Bavel, I hear, Shahayuruam Psulim. Most of them were lished. Lirod Bibei Nachal, despite the fact that these were not the finest in the Shens de Yidin, I went down there with Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi. And I went down also Lirod b'miyuchos, and I went to take a look at the shiny Eden shenisharu b'bavel that remained in Bavel. And you know what I wanted to find out? Haporcho hagefen heinetsu harimonin. as it blossomed, as the geffen, the vine blossomed. In yesh ben chachomim v'talmidim asher levavam pone lavo l'eretz Hashem l'hashrot sham shchinato. God says, I went down there to take a look. Are there good Jews who want to come back so I can bring my divine presence to dwell in Eretz Yisrael? There are so many psukim here. That's going to have to be someday for a number of chapters over here. Sforno and Evan Ezra in Shir HaShirim. It's not a shir. It becomes extremely, extremely painful. Extremely painful. And then he brings... I just see it now. The pasuk that I told you this is from. Shuvi, shuvi hashulamit. Return, return. When the prophets called the word of God, come from Shuvi Eli, return to me and I will return to you. What did they say? The pasuk in Zechariah. Go, flee, go back. And then Hashem, when you'll be there, I'm going to bring my divine presence to dwell. So you know what that Torah is? It's all the story of what could have been. Could have been, but never happened. That's the tragedy of it. Let's go another few lines in Rav Yehuda Halevi. So while it's a beautiful Haftorah, the only thing that's beautiful about the Haftorah, of course, is what didn't happen then in Mirat Hashem, we should be safer today. I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell in you. Now take a look how Rav Yehuda Halevi learns Shir HaShirim. And it's possible, Kiazer Ramaz Shlomo Ba'amro, that's what Shlomo was saying. Ani Yishena V'libi Er. I'm asleep, but my heart is awake. Kinot Hashem et HaGolos B'Shem Shena. The Golos is called sleeping. That Hasmodas HaNevua B'Kirbam. And the prophecy amongst them is called Lev Er, a heart that's awake. And when they said, Kol Dodi Dofeik, Kiving the Kriyashi Yikromel Akailo Shuvlar, it's Kol Dodi Dofeik. You hear how he's learning the Psuk and Rav Yehuda Halevi. God knocks on the doors, on the heart of Klal Yisrael. He's not going to tell them, Chevre, come home. Ashi Yikreimel Akailo Shuvlar, that's. And then you'll see Pashatiti et Kutanti, Mora al Hitat Slumli, Shama la Kriyav al Shuv Laretz Yisrael, says the same thing as the Evan Ezra. By the way, what's fascinating, of course, is, and I'm never sure, who borrowed from who? Remember, we learned a number of times that the Evan Ezra quotes Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in his commentary on Chumash, Sha'olami Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi asked me. Here, the two of them nearly say the same words. Pashatiti et Kutanti, I had read from. I took off my shirt. Moral hidat slumli shama lakriya v'lo shuv l'eretz Yisrael. It talks about the fact that they were lazy to listen to the cry, the call to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Dodi sholach yadom and achor, that's them as Le'ezra, who begs them. V'lenechenil and v'im achronim sov tov. The end was v'akhelik min ha'am nene v'lo b'leiv shalom. Only some of the people came and they didn't come with their whole heart. The important thing is that the Haftorah is so, so much more than we would have seen at first glance. It simply is not usually just menorah here, menorah there, we got ourselves a Haftorah. No, no, no. The story of Baalotcha is what could have been, and didn't happen. It's the story of tragedy. Everything that happens in there, and we live with that tragedy ad hayom hazeh. There were those who didn't really want to go into Eretz Yisrael. If you're on a great mission and you have tremendous zeal, you don't walk around complaining. You don't need steaks in the midbar. K rations are good enough if you're on your way to conquer Eretz Yisrael. You don't need anything else. But obviously they were falling off the horse, and by Parshat Shlach there, out on the ground. But then, of course, every Haftorah is also the message of hope. And that's why the Haftorah only has the picture of Emir Hashem, what will be. That's it.